This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast. This is show number 358 for Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. Show where we talk about technology, ministry. We ask you to listen in each week and share some of the ideas that not all are original ideas, but ideas that you've given us, and helping me kind of weed through all that stuff and make sense of it all each week. Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be joining you today. And it's kind of a special episode. It's
festive atmosphere, I'm thinking.
That's right. We're starting something new. We generally follow the school year calendar with our normal podcast routine, and then in the summertime do something a little different. And we just wrapped up our summer series, migrating the Wells Tech Wiki to a brand new platform, tied it all up with a bow for folks last week, so that's a done deal, and it's time to get back to the regular business of Wells Tech podcasting. So here we are, kicking off a new season.
A little bit longer shows. We try and keep them under an hour. We do our best. It depends on the feedback that we get and how long-winded I get, usually. But that's our goal each and every week. The way the show runs is we have a topic, a central topic each week, where Sally and I kibitz over a little bit, talk a little bit about the topic, share some links and resources with you, and then we have other agendas as we go through the show. So we're happy that you joined us. We do this show every week, Tuesday afternoons at 4 p.m. And if you go to wellstechlive.wells.net, that'll get you to the live show, 4 o'clock Central, where you can watch and ask questions. And we already have a question in the queue, which we'll address once we hit that portion of the show.
Martin, I got to interrupt you real quick and do a special shout out. I have new friends who I shared Wells Tech with this week. I was honored and privileged to speak to the New Ulm Area Owls group. So that's the organization of Wells seniors in the area. And what a fun group they were. We spent about an hour yesterday talking about all kinds of digital resources to enhance our faith lives and help us in our walk, our Christian walk. And it was a great day, and many of them, believe it or not, hadn't heard of Wells Tech. So hopefully some of them are actually watching today.
Technology has no barriers.
That's right.
Everybody can use it, and more, I think our seniors are understanding the need, or you know, kind of the advantages of using technology, certainly as it becomes a communication medium and an ability to share the gospel, you know, through
Absolutely.
Technology. So,
some of our best volunteers actually come from that demographic, for sure.
Before we totally leave last week or this past summer, just a reminder: WellsTechWiki.gapps.wells.net is the location for our Wells Tech Wiki, and that's definitely a place where we'd like your participation as a Wells Tech listener or viewer to put your stuff that you feel might be worth sharing, ideas that you've had or experiences that you've had. So head on over to wellstechwiki.gapps.wells.net, or there's a link on our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, to find out what's going on over there. Or if you even just are looking for information about a particular technology topic, that's what we've tried to build over there. And it's just begun. As you listen to any of the shows over the course of the summer, you know that there's some areas that are a little skeleton thin of content, and we'd love to beef those up. And content ages as well. Technology moves so quickly that what we're talking about maybe last year isn't applicable next year. So that's definitely a site we want to keep our focus on.
Yep. All right, time to dig into our book, and I'm really excited about our book selection for this year, Martin. We pick one book every podcast season, and we go through it basically chapter by chapter on a monthly basis. So we'll have a show this month, next month, typically the second show of the month, the second Tuesday of the month, we'll talk about the book again. And we mentioned it on a few other shows, but perhaps this is the first time some have heard. We are going to be reading What's Best Next. Yep. It's by author Matt Perman, and you can find it out on Amazon. You can buy a paper version like I got,
or digital version like
digital
I
digital version, that's
same
right.
Words.
Yours was a little cheaper, it looks like. Hardcover is $15.92 on Amazon, and the Kindle is only $7.99.
So. Right. The subtitle here is How the Gospel Transforms the Way You Get Things Done. And we've talked about productivity systems a lot on this show, maybe not recently, but I'm looking forward to the journey through this book because it's got some unique perspectives that I've read about already, kind of a little bit different approach than maybe something like Getting Things Done by David Allen, which we'll talk about in a minute. So why this book, Sally? Why is this in front of us?
You know, that's a great question, Martin. We had it recommended to us. There were a couple of different people that had read the book and thought it might be worth our time. Shout out quickly to Bob Martins and Pastor Rob Gunther, who both dived into the book and recommended it to us. I think what's different and exciting about this is the word gospel is on the cover. And, you know, I have thought a lot about productivity, but to be real honest, I hadn't thought of it in gospel terms. I just feel like to me it's a radical thing to kind of associate the word productivity to my sanctified living, basically. And that excites me.
Yep. So we should probably ask and answer the first question we have in the queue from Philip Wells, because that kind of ties into, you know, why this book versus maybe any other productivity book. He says, I feel that Matt really just rehashes GTD, stands for Getting Things Done, and invents his own terminology for concepts David Allen already covers. So in your opinion, does this book add anything useful to the GTD framework? Well, it's a little early in the process to answer that question because I haven't read the whole book. I've read the introduction. Sally, you haven't read the whole book yet either. You're a little further along than I. I have read David Allen's Getting Things Done, which is a book that I like and I think has some value in ministry. And I've even taught courses kind of based on this approach. I've taught some seminary courses. I've taught a couple of courses at pastor-teacher conferences, those kinds of things, on productivity in the pastor's office or the teacher's office or whatever, or, you know, from a Christian perspective. So I put that little gospel flavor in it. I think one of the major differences that I'm expecting to see right out of the box is, again, that gospel flavor, that gospel motivation. David Allen has another book called Ready for Anything, and this kind of gives you a little bit of a peek behind his motivation or what he feels the average productive citizen's motivation should be. It's 52 Productivity Principles for Work and Life, and it's what you might expect from somebody who doesn't maybe have gospel motivation behind him. It's more about living a full and productive life, kind of a humanistic perspective. And I think we're going to find it that in this book we really kind of get at why do we even care about being productive? And he kind of brings that out in the introduction. What's the big deal? And it comes back to stewardship and living as children under God. And that really makes all the difference as to why you would want to be productive. Certainly, you want to please God, and that really should be one of our goals. And that's a point that Matt makes. One of the quotes is, our goal should be to please God, not to appease God. So there's a point in a Christian's walk where he says, this is what I want to do as a child of God. So that's where I see, Philip, maybe one of the differences being. But again, the proof will be once we get through the book and as we go through, you know, does it bring anything more to the table other than just kind of rehashed GTD principles with a little Christian icing on the top.
Yeah. The book is divided, I think, into 7 sections, if I'm remembering correctly, and we'll actually take a whole section at once. He calls them parts. So part 1 covers 4 chapters, and that's what we'll do on our next show. I can tell you that parts 1, 2, and 3 don't touch any kind of productivity system. There's no approach addressed. It's all about productivity motivation, that gospel motivation, and that's the half of the book that I don't find anywhere in any of the GTD writings, basically.
One thing I did notice, Sally, just to kind of follow up on that, is he does mention in the introduction, and we'll see if this carries through, David Allen really, in his GTD system, makes a big thing about creating lots of lists. You have lists for everything. And then you pick the list that that you can use at the particular station that you are in a particular day. If you're in the car, there's a certain list that you might have at your disposal. If you're in a waiting room at the doctor's office, or you know, if you have a phone with you, or if you don't have a phone with you, if you're just walking or you're mowing the lawn. He says, Matt says in his book, lists are really just support materials for what he calls activity zones. So I'm kind of interested in knowing what these activity zones are. It sounds like there's these portions of the day that you're kind of in the mode for this kind of activity, and then you grab the appropriate task at the appropriate time. So I think that's probably maybe a difference between the two systems as well.
So, Philip, I challenge you to watch the end of the series. Maybe it'll be May or so before we finally wrap it up. But hopefully by then we will have figured out the full answer to the question that you asked.
So, Sal, let's just take a couple minutes to maybe highlight a couple things that we found interesting in the read of the introduction, at least. What did you think was maybe compelling there?
And I'm just, before we do that, I just have a couple of screens I want to share for those watching the video. We'll have a link in our show notes to the page, the Amazon page where the book is listed. But from Matt's website, whatsbestnext.com, I actually found the introduction and first chapter of the book available in PDF format. So if you want to read what we've read in preparation for today's show and, you know, find out if it really is worth the money to invest in the book or whatever, then check out this PDF document because it has everything that we've gone over as of now.
Great.
And I did make a few notes, Martin. So good question that you asked. And I think one thing that I got from it is that our acceptance by God is not based on our productivity. So right away, the power of a productivity system is lessened, basically, because Christ has done it for us. And so the only way he says to...
Even.
Yeah, the only way to, he says, to be productive is to realize and accept the fact that we don't have to be productive. So I thought that was kind of liberating to hear and be free from the fact that I got to check everything off the list.
Right. One thing I found interesting very early on in the introduction was his differentiation between efficiency and effectiveness. Sometimes I think we want to equate those, but he makes a distinction between those where he said, you know, efficiency is doing whatever you're doing as efficiently as possible, you know, greasing the skids, making sure that, you know, on that task you're doing it to the best of your ability, and from A to Z it's an efficient process. It's something that you're doing it correctly. Effectiveness, on the other hand, is getting the right thing done efficiently, and that's kind of right in the book. What's best next? What should you be doing efficiently right now? Not just doing things efficiently, but how do you pick? How do you determine in your life right now what needs to get done next? And that's a tough question. How do you pick? And there's all kinds of Christian dimensions to that as we begin to serve, as we try to serve our Lord. That question should be asked, I think, at every corner. So that's probably a good foundation and a good distinction to make as we're going through this study of this book.
Right. Two things, two little nuggets I picked up on to answer that question, what's best next. I read why you should be productive is to serve God by serving others, and how do you do that? To put others first. Okay. So, you know, those are kind of foundational biblical concepts that I learned in Sunday school as a little girl, but I'd never applied it to my business life, right, and my productivity at work kind of, you know, I don't think those terms in my work day to day. And I just think that's really cool to actually apply God's, you know, directive to our lives, the work he gives us to do. It fits. It's a neat concept.
Taking off on that, one little section he talked about, and this kind of really hit home. I was in church last weekend, and one of the readings was the reading of the Good Samaritan. And I thought of this section of the book where he's talking about doing good to others, and obviously a nice segue into, you know, the Good Samaritan and doing good to others. But you take it, there's a little bit of a different approach that he's suggesting here. Yeah, you should do good to others when it crosses our path, like the Good Samaritan. And God's going to put those opportunities in our path, you know, day in and day out to do good to others as we walk along our journey, and then there's an opportunity, you know, to do good. But he's making a distinction here in this kind of approach, and I think we'll see this probably as we go through the first part of the book especially, that the Christian makes plans for doing good to others, not just as you have opportunity, not just as they cross your path, but as you think about what you should, how you plan your day, how you plan your week, how do you plan your life, you're making plans for the good of others. And he references Isaiah 32:8, but the noble makes noble plans, and by noble deeds they stand. I thought that was an interesting application of that verse. I never put that stewardship flavor on that verse, but it really makes a lot of sense where we're trying to figure out how to do good to others, not just be good to others as we have opportunity. So a little bit more, or a bigger or a fuller definition of stewardship there as it comes to serving others.
Yep. I mentioned this earlier, Martin. It's sanctified living is what it is. Our life in Christ should reflect and allow us to be productive, I guess. It should be the service that we do. And I love that concept of planning to do good, because, you know, being I'm not drawing the right word, but, you know, having a plan in place to serve others in all that we do, right, not just on Sunday morning or by volunteering to do some job at church.
Yeah, sanctification is not just church work, but it's all the practical things.
Yeah, all of life, living it all to God's glory.
So, and that makes sense. If you're coming at a productivity approach by, you know, from a gospel perspective, you really have to kind of start with the motivation, and that gives you that whole life approach as well. So, good. So that's probably enough of an introduction. We don't want to spoil it for everybody, but I think it's probably a good start to get us along the way. So when we meet again, Sally, we're going to be looking at the first, what do they call
part. It? It's called part. A part. Yeah. It's actually chapters 1-4. Okay. So it's called First Things First, Making God Supreme in Our Productivity, part 1.
Okay. So if you'd like to follow along at home rather than just us listen, rather than just listen to us talk about it, it's not that long a book, so it's not going to create a significant barrier to getting through it. So if you want to follow along at home, that would be most welcome. We have another question, Sally, from our friend Rob Gunther. Mm-hmm. He says, I think Luther would have loved this book with the emphasis on the doctrine of vocation, always asking how do we serve others in our day-to-day living. And so not as much a question but a comment, and I am in total agreement. I think the doctrine of vocation, and I've heard a couple good seminars on vocation. I think John Schrader has done that in a couple workshops I've been at. Just a good insight as to what is the Christian life, not just the you know, not just the things that we can pigeonhole. So thanks for the question. I appreciate it. Shall we move along, Sally?
We shall, and we want to welcome back a section of the show that we haven't done for a while, Martin. It's called News in Tech, because there are some exciting newsy kind of things just coming out today. So breaking
coming
news.
Coming out of our ears.
That's right. And in particular, I'm referencing the fact that Apple had an event today. It was a big to-do. And at it, they announced their iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, a biggie. And also at the Apple Watch. So some new technology coming soon from Apple.
Yep.
I think there's a new operating system for the mobile devices to go along with that.
Right, iOS 8. So do you have any impressions on what you saw? It's probably real fresh news, but maybe you haven't had a chance to digest it. You're an iPhone user.
Yep.
Here's a 4.7-inch and a 5.5-inch iPhone versus the, I believe the current iPhone is like 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So they bumped it up quite a bit. Any thoughts?
Yeah, much larger screen resolution. They brag that the graphics are just amazing. And also a new motion processor embedded in it that's going to give you better fitness apps, something mm-hmm. we've talked about on the show, where it can actually detect your, you know, different activities and things like that with the motion processor.
Yeah.
Improved battery life, and a new payment system that they're building into it. And apparently many major retailers are getting involved in this Apple Pay, where you touch with your fingerprint identification to pay somehow, and something scans on the phone and does payment. So we'll see if that's something new financially that's going to take off with different retailers.
Even through the watch, I understand. So this is still kind of an emerging technology, and I think what Apple's trying to do is insulate the buyer from the seller in some
mm-hmm.
cases,
mm-hmm.
like a Home Depot that you know had the leak
security
of
breach, yeah.
Yep, the security breach of customer information. Now Apple had their own breach or leak as well with their iCloud service, so people are going to have to decide where they want to, who they want to entrust their information to. But through this Apple Pay approach, I think it's Apple keeps it hopefully secure, and then the vendor or the seller doesn't really need to manage your payment information. So interesting things as we approach this very mobile world in which we're living, and how things are going to progress with the whole e-commerce side.
Yeah.
Apple wasn't the only one releasing new products. There was a big convention over in Europe that released a lot of things from Samsung. Motorola just had a recent launch, and I can let me share my screen real quickly here. And that is the Moto X. I was a big fan of the original Moto X. They've released a second version of the Moto X, and The Verge, which is one of the tech blogs out there that I read quite a bit, says it's the best smartphone ever made. That's a big claim. I really like the Moto X, and I think there are technologies in it that others can't match, like hands-free operation, so you can just speak to the phone even when it's off and it will respond. One of the things they did was they too made it bigger, so it's 5.2 inches, so not quite as big as the big iPhone, the iPhone 6 Plus. On the other thing that the Moto X brings to the table is almost total customization capabilities. So you can put wood backs on it, leather backs, Kevlar backs, different kinds of colors and accents. So if you really want to make it your own, the Moto X might be the way to go. So that's actually the phone that I've got my eye on, maybe for the next round. So.
And this is an Android phone or a Windows phone?
That's an Android phone. Yep.
Okay.
Android phone. So that's what has been happening this past week for news.
The news. Yep.
Ministry Resources is our next segment, and we do have an entry here.
We do. I need to share my screen real quick. I read about this on Facebook. Some of my friends shared a link to Lutheran Public Radio. You can find it at lutheranpublicradio.org. I believe it's a Missouri Synod.
Sounds right. Yep.
product. But basically, it's internet radio. We have a Streams radio. This is another option for you where you can go and listen to streaming music. And different people gave it a very good result. Feedback. Review. Boy, I can't talk today. Sorry about that.
That's summer rush. Shake it off.
Yes.
Shake it off.
Anyway, people like this website. So if you're looking to stream some music, maybe to have some background music as you work productively, Lutheran Public Radio is the way to go. I think you need a new co-host, Martin. Tongue-tied today.
Oh, wouldn't want me. Yeah, it would not be pretty. Okay, let's move on to our tips and picks of the week. We've kind of consolidated this category. We kind of added a part for the summer and before. Now we're just going to throw it all together. So if we've got good stuff that we want to share with you, this is our time to do it, our tips and picks. And we'll do ladies first.
Oh, great, since I'm doing such a good job here. Okay, my tip is actually just a little browser tip that I learned recently, and it is that you can highlight any text in your browser, and I don't know, that's probably an image there, but if you want to highlight, say, the word Lutheran, you're reading along on a web page and you want to find out more about text on the page, you can highlight, click, and drag it to the browser unibar up at the top.
Are you talking about actually, Chrome?
It is a Chrome thing, but I think it might work in other browsers as well.
Are you showing your screen?
Oh, Martin.
Just checking. I didn't.
I'm going to go home after this, okay? Sorry. So I highlighted the word Lutheran on my screen.
Okay.
And I drag it to the unibar, the address bar in Chrome or other browsers that's used also for searching, and it becomes a search term, and you get search results from it.
Oh, really? So, I didn't know that.
Thank you. I'm glad I taught you something. If I could spit it out.
Is that a plugin or is that built in?
That's built into your browser. That's my
gift
to you.
Highlight the word and drag it to the URL bar, and up pops the search
results for it. Yes, sir.
Awesome.
That's what I meant. So that is my tip of the week. Just make it so.
I like.
You can do.
I like. That's yep. I'm going to use that.
Good.
In handy. So very cool. My pick or tip, I think I'd call it a hybrid of the two, is something that I ran across just the other day again. I've been using Skype off and on for many years, but more recently because I've had some conversations with people over in Hong Kong and other locations that aren't around, and Skype seems to hold up the best for that. But I ran across Skype in the Classroom, and I guess I knew this existed, but I was reminded of it just by going to Skype's homepage, and education.skype.com is the place to go where you kind of learn a little bit more about Skype in the Classroom. But Skype is an awesome way to kind of bring the outside in and take your classroom out. There's a number of ways to use it. You can collaborate with other classes, so class to class. There's a whole network where you can find guest speakers and invite them into your classroom. There's another section or a listing of virtual field trips that you can take around the world. There's all kinds of case studies here, and if you join Skype or Skype for Classrooms, you can have kind of an ad-free environment for your classroom as well for free. There's a huge database here, and I was just kind of having fun scrolling through and doing searches for different kinds of speakers that might be available on different topics. Just a good way if you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, or you don't you want to kind of give your, not saying New Ulm Sally's in the middle of nowhere, but
yeah.
No, but any, if you want to be someplace else, if you want to present to your kids an opportunity to kind of branch out and see what the rest of the world has to offer, Skype is a great way to do that, and Skype has done a great job of kind of giving those resources to you to figure out who you can connect with. So there's a whole rating system, and you make the connection, and it's all free. So Skype in the Classroom is, I think, just a good thing to look at if you are of such a mind to kind of expand the horizons. I would say maybe for for many different kinds of classes, whether it be science or history, geography are probably great examples of Skype in the classroom usage. So
it's a small world that we live in. Pretty amazing stuff.
What? Yep. Question from Jeffrey Cragen. What is your view of Google Hangout, which seems a bit more stable, doesn't draw as many resources on your laptop? Sally, what's been your experience with Hangouts in general?
Well, we've used them successfully here on the podcast for quite a while, and I have also used them to teach classes where we were depending on bringing in 10 people into our video conferencing for multiple-day classes, and I have felt very comfortable with Google Hangouts, very stable platform for sure. I don't do the overseas stuff like you were talking about.
Yeah, and I've used both, and I think both have their place. I think Skype is maybe... has been around a lot longer, and I think they've made some improvements lately. If you haven't tried it lately, Jeffrey, maybe give it a shot. There aren't, I guess it's a toss-up as far as I'm concerned. Depends on what ecosystem you want to live in. Skype is in the Microsoft camp. Google Hangouts requires a little bit of a learning curve to kind of get into Google and understand how it all works. So I would say education probably both could work, just your mileage may vary. So,
you know, I just spoke to a student here at MLC that was wanting to record her video conferencing, and we definitely, you know, make use of Google Hangouts for recording.
Right.
I don't know if Skype, you'd maybe need a plug-in
or a third-party
thing to do recordings. It's possible.
Yep, so that may be a differentiator there.
Records right to YouTube, so your connected YouTube account has your recorded video waiting for you when you're done with your Hangout, if you set it up that way.
Yep, exactly. So great question. Keep the questions coming. Mm-hmm. Sally, our next segment is kind of a new take on an old category. We've renamed it Wells Insider. So we're trying to find stuff that, because you don't work in the Senate office or aren't maybe running in, you know, real in-depth Wells circles, you may not know about. And that's this segment. And the one item that we want to share on our Wells Insider segment today is something we shared last week. The Interactive Faith Bible Study is going on. And that is a internet-based study done over live stream. It's every Wednesday at 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock Central on the Book of Jonah. Pastor Michael Quant, former seminary professor, is doing the study. And so you can tune in to, and we'll have a link in the show notes, but if you are interested in doing a study of the Book of Jonah, basically the way it's supposed to work, but you can do it in all kinds of flavors, is put a little group together. Get a little group together at your church or your home, view it together. What he does is he pauses about every 20 minutes for some group activities and questions, and then he continues the presentation. But you can easily do it on your own as well, and there are materials that he provides that will enable you to do that. So Interactive Faith is the study. If you go to new.livestream.com/interactive faith, you'll get right to that page. And it works with a chat system, so if you've got questions, you can type that in the chat window, and then the professor or the presenter takes time to answer those questions.
Sounds great, Martin. We have another new category. It's called Need to Know, and these are important, maybe event-related things or things that you need to put on your calendar or pay attention to. And Martin, one of the things that folks need to know about is that there is a Malawi pastor potentially who could make use of their iPhones, their used iPhones.
Yep.
And you have more details.
Yep. Details are still coming out. I don't want to give too much information at this point because we're still kind of working out how we might want to receive these donations, but we're in need of iPhone 4s that are either on the AT&T or T-Mobile network or unlocked, just totally unlocked. So you may want to rummage through the drawers if you've got something that fits that description. Tune in next week. We'll provide more detail about where to send that, and you can get a donation credit for that. But iPhone 4s, not 4S's, 5s, 5S's. We're looking for older iPhones to give to African national pastors for better communications amongst themselves and for some things that we can put in their hands that would allow them to do Bible study and those kinds of things. So that is coming up.
I see another question from Pastor Fred Kogler. Hi, Pastor Kogler. Nice to have you joining us today. He mentioned that he would like to have the web addresses, the URLs of the different things that we're mentioning. I have my screen up right now looking at the Wells Tech website, and I just want to make mention that wellstech.wells.net has complete show notes of every episode that we broadcast. So we don't put the links out during the live show, but once we publish the show, typically Wednesday morning, the archive of the show comes out, and all the links are available there. And believe me, there are a lot of them because I type every single one of them. So we'll definitely have those links available for you, Pastor. Just check out wellstech.wells.net. Look for episode 358, which will be available tomorrow morning.
Yep. Sometimes we would share the links verbally, you know, on the show. But sometimes they're so long, and maybe you're in a position where you don't have a chance to write them down. So that's why we have that show notes page as well.
Mm-hmm. Couple of more things you need to know, and this is especially pertinent for the pastors that are watching and listening, and that is that we are currently taking a pastor survey. We want to learn about what technology you use in your pastoral ministry. So we're looking for just some brief answers on your favorite technology for things like Bible study, member and prospect management, maybe your favorite mobile apps and gadgets, a few other categories there.
All
for
about
you.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Serious.
And what's exciting is our friends over at Northwestern Publishing House generously gave us a copy of HymnSoft Player 3.0. Normally retails for $249.99. And for you pastors who reply to the survey, we're going to have a drawing in November and give away a copy of that. So it's worth your 5 minutes to potentially win a copy of HymnSoft, the newest version.
And how do they get to the survey?
Well, that's a great question. We have a link set up for them. It's bit.ly/pastorstechsurvey. And we'll have that link in the show notes as well.
bit.ly/pastorstechsurvey.
So there you go. Rolls
well,
right off the tongue.
Need to know. Conference we've been talking up a little bit, wells.net/wellstechconf. You can find all the information about Wells Tech Conference 2015. Dates July, I'm doing going by memory, 9th to 11th of 2015, I think, Sally, sound right?
That sounds perfect, Martin. Yep, come and join Martin and I and all of our Wells Tech family and of listeners as we learn about using technology effectively in ministry. And right now we're looking for people to present for the breakout sessions. We're going to have a huge selection of breakouts, and I know many of our listeners have a lot of talent that would be super well-received if they were willing to share that information, lead a 50-minute breakout session. And for that effort, you would get free admission to the conference. So check out the website, look for the Call for Presenters page, and there's just a brief form where you can kind of pitch your idea for a breakout session, and our conference committee will review those soon and get back to you.
By the way, the conference is going to be held in Waukesha, Wisconsin, at Country Springs Hotel and Resort. They have a nice water park there, so maybe a good family vacation. So coming up next summer, looking forward to it.
Maybe I could do a vacation, and you could just kind of run the conference, and I could slide down the water slides.
No comment. Let's go to community feedback.
Yeah, let's, because I have up on the screen an awesome document that our friend Pastor Rob Gunther shared with us this week. It's titled, How to Create and Use a Simple Prospect Management System with Google Sheets. So he's using free Google Drive tools to manage his prospects. And this is just an awesome document. He spent a lot of time putting together the how and why of doing this, step-by-step instructions on how he does it and makes use of it and shares it with the appropriate people so that folks can update when they visit with prospects and things like that. So great instructions, Pastor Gunther. Thank you so much for taking the time to put this together. And I think many people should be rushing right now to download these. And you can find them out on the Wells Tech Wiki. We have a section for member management, member and prospect management, posted there, and also will be available in our show notes.
Awesome. Thanks, Rob, for sharing. Mm-hmm. He also had another little bit of feedback, too, right?
That's right. He sent us a tip. So we should have a section for Rob in our picks and tips area because he's so well-versed.
He also said his I believe this is probably his prospect management guide is available on Kindle from Amazon for 99 cents. So
awesome.
If you want it in digital format right on the old Kindle, there it is for you. Excellent. Hope we don't challenge your online sales by giving us away
that
for
sales.
Free.
Yeah. All right. So his tip was something super simple but definitely worth sharing. He says in your word processing software, he uses Microsoft Word or Google Docs, there are built-in thesaurus and dictionaries available. And there are shortcut keys for those. In Microsoft Word, you can hit Shift F7 to bring up the thesaurus, or in Google Docs, Control Shift Y, and it'll bring up the dictionary entry with synonyms. So very useful. He says sometimes he needs to come up with a simpler word to keep things simple and something he's writing. A $1 word in place of a $5 word, he said. So looking it up in the thesaurus is always handy. It was just a little mention that it's also built in on the Kindle. So if you're an electronic type, I don't know who he would be referring to there, that would do such things as ebooks and things, then you might want to check it out on the Kindle as well. So that's the tip from Pastor Gunther. Use those built-in tools. They're tucked away and easy to use. No books involved.
Yep, thanks. I think the last piece of community feedback, at least on my list here, is something that I ran across, a Lifehacker article talking about a Google Chromebook comparison chart. And I've got that up on the screen as well. Very cool. I know a lot of you are considering putting Chromebooks in your classrooms, but there used to be, when we were first starting to talk about Chromebooks, Al, you had like one or two options.
Two models, yeah.
Now that's not the case. There's a lot more options. So you kind of need a guide to walk your way through what all the options are. And they've done a nice job with this configurator of sorts where you can say, I want to see these brands with this level of processor, with these kind of specs. I need 4 gig of RAM. I need an HD screen. Or what size screen or what country supported. And as you add those check boxes, what kind of processor, it filters your results to what would fit your criteria. So if you're in the Chromebook market and kind of have an idea of what you'd like, maybe screen by screen size or battery or whatever, this is a good little companion tool for you to figure out what your options are. So take a look at that link for the Google Chromebook comparison chart.
Excellent.
Is that it for community feedback?
That's going to do it for this week, yes, sir.
All righty. If you haven't ever given us feedback, you're welcome to do that because it is really easy. You can send us a quick email, wellstech@wells.net. You can go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a comment. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest. Those are all at your disposal, and we'd love to hear from you. Those of you that are frequent contributors, keep it coming. We love that feedback and truly one of my favorite sections of the show. Sally, now that we're back in the swing of things, kind of, a little rusty on both of our parts, I think. What do our listeners have to look forward to next week?
Next week they have an interview to look forward to, Martin. What a concept. We
Bring
used to do those.
I think.
That's right. Somebody whose tongue isn't tied. We're going to talk about the state of social networks, and to go along with that conversation, we've invited Lauren Hunter, who's the blogger behind a website called churchtechtoday.com. And I'm really excited to talk to Lauren about her website and the interesting things that she shares there. It's kind of a parallel to Wells Tech in blog format, and she has a lot of
resources. And I've used some of her stuff in some of the presentations I've given, some of her ebooks, especially on social networks. So along with that, we're going to talk about the state of social networks. It's probably a good time to take a step back and say, where are we with all this stuff? Where are we with Facebook and Twitter, especially as it relates to ministry? And should churches still be here, or should they be doing the next thing, or whatever? So that's all coming up next week.
That's right.
We have a featured video this week, Sally.
We do, something a little bit different. Those of you that have been watching for a while know that we started YouTube playlist where we've organized videos that might be useful in a church or school setting, but we were ignoring all the great videos that are housed only on Vimeo. So we are now in the Vimeo market as well, and Vimeo works a little different than YouTube. You can't organize by playlist, but you can like things on Vimeo. So we've started a list of videos that we like. We give them a heart. And the first one on the list is a video from Martin Luther College. It's called I Will Rise, a choir piece. This was kind of the finale of their choir tour concert that they performed last spring. And it's a beautiful Easter piece that I think will inspire and be enjoyable to all of our listeners. So check it out.
Very nice. And just before we close, we had one final tip provided by Nancy Thompson. Thanks, Nancy. Dictionary lookup for Macs. We're going to give our Mac users a little love here, kind of related to your tip, Sally. With your mouse cursor over the top of the word on a Mac that you'd like to look up in the dictionary, press Command-Control-D, obviously for dictionary. A little dialog will pop up with the word defined by the built-in Mac OS dictionary. So there's hard words that we use on our show notes page. That's the approach you should use. Not likely because we try and be as sensitive as possible. But thanks, Nancy. Appreciate it.
Not likely because I type them and I don't know a lot of hard words.
Maybe it's some southern phrase that we're
there
not
familiar with. Might use Langyap sometimes.
Like Langyap. Yeah,
there
we'll
you go.
Let's see if the Mac knows that one.
Langyap. I used that yesterday in my presentation, and no one knew it. So,
really?
I taught all those wordsmith retired professors and things a new word, a Cajun word, Langyap, a little something extra.
Little lexography for them. That's cool.
That's right.
Sometimes people do know that. In our final web class, I remember one of our students knew exactly.
And where was she from? She was from Alabama.
Yeah.
Yes, shout out to my friend Lynn Welberg, who's from now in Brookings, South
Dakota. So please come back next week for a little more Langyap and for all kinds of other good stuff. Thanks for joining us, and see you next week.